How can we discover products that last so we can all live a life that's less throwaway? Welcome to the Circular Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Wheatman, and I started this podcast to help people discover why circular, regenerative, and fair solutions are better for people, planet, and prosperity. Some people think going circular means swapping a few materials or making things a bit more recyclable. But that's nowhere near enough to create a healthy, resilient, and zero carbon world where we can all thrive. Many organisations are missing the game-changing potential of going circular. The disruptors in this space are using circular strategies to reimagine how to create value for all their stakeholders. They're doing better with less. We'll hear from those inspiring people who are challenging business as usual and rethinking how we design, make, and use everything. You'll find the show notes and links at circulareconomypodcast.com, where you can subscribe to podcast updates, my Circular Insights newsletter, and check out my award-winning A Circular Economy Handbook. Welcome to another conversation with an entrepreneur helping us create a circular economy. It's episode 128, and I'm delighted to introduce you to Tara Button, founder and CEO of Buy Me Once, a platform which helps people buy the longest lasting products on the planet. If you've heard me talking about the three essential strategies for circular businesses, you'll know that one of those three strategies is keeping things in use for longer. That means things that are durable, repairable, and have resale value. I get frustrated by how difficult it is to find good examples of companies doing this, and so it was brilliant to discover Buy Me Once, which seeks out products that are durable and repairable and makes it easier for people like you and me to find and buy them. Back in 2015, Tara Button was a frustrated advertising creative, tasked with increasing the chocolate consumption of children. Then the gift of an heirloom cooking pot sparked the idea of Buy Me Once. In 2016, the platform went spectacularly viral, allowing Tara to leave Adland. Since then, Buy Me Once has partnered with hundreds of ethical brands to help consumers buy for the long term. It now has a wide range of products from kitchenware to bed linen, home furnishings to electronics, and clothing. The platform sells in the UK and the United States, with some products also available for delivery in the European Union. Tara tells us about the frustrations that led her to start Buy Me Once, and the ethos that underpins the choice of featured brands and products. We hear what's driving the push for more durable, repairable products, and how feedback from customers can help brands to further improve those products. Tara's experience has helped to become a disruptive voice, speaking about the importance of product durability at events, on TV, podcasts, and BBC radio. Tara's early career in marketing and advertising gave her valuable insights into the psychology of consumerism, and she's used these to write an engaging and insightful book on mindful consumption. It's called A Life Less Throwaway, and it's published by HarperCollins. In the conversation, we touch on a few aspects of Tara's book, and it has some great tips to help us spot a range of typical marketing tactics so we can make more conscious choices, instead of getting sucked along into the buy it now decision. Let's join the conversation with Tara Button of Buy Me Once, and I'll catch up with you afterwards to share what I took away from the conversation. Tara, welcome to the Circular Economy Podcast. I'd like to start with your business, Buy Me Once, which began all the way back in 2015. So what problem is it trying to solve for people, and what led you to start it?
Well, it was trying to solve a problem for myself initially. When I was younger, I was very much a kind of impulse buyer. I filled my flat full of kind of, oh, this will you do, or this is pretty, or, you know, kind of on the spur of the moment purchases. And then I was given this incredible heirloom item, Le Creuset pot, for my 30th birthday. And this pot just basically showed up everything else I owned and made me realize that, yeah, everything else I owned was pretty rubbish. And so I was like, well, from now on, what I should be aiming for is to buy the Le Creuset of everything, the longest lasting heirloom quality item. And I went looking at that point for a shop that sold the longest lasting version of everything. And back then it just didn't exist. And I was like, well, that's a no-brainer. Someone should do that. But not having any experience with shops or websites, it didn't occur to me that that person should be me. But as time went on, I kind of made the connection between a product lasting a long time and the environmental impact of that. And having always been really passionate about the environment, that kind of stirred up a fire in me, kind of gave me a bit of a kick in the stomach feeling to think, actually, this could be a real solution for reducing carbon emissions. Because if you're buying something that can last 20 years rather than, six things that between them last 20 years, that's all of those materials that didn't have to be dug out of the ground, all of the things that didn't have to happen to get that product into a shop, and then the packaging and the transportation, that's actually massive when it comes to savings. So that feeling that I should do something about this kind of followed me around for about 2 years before I actually did start to do something about it. I was working in advertising at the time, and so in my spare time, I started to build this website, doing this research, collecting together what I could consider, I guess, best in show for in each product category in terms of longevity. And then that little essentially blog went viral at the beginning of 2016, and hundreds of thousands of people came to the website all
Wow.
at once. It's a real pity the website wasn't monetized at that point, but that gave me the confidence to see that people really did see the need for this, and they got behind the idea of buying quality over quantity. And so I quit my slightly evil advertising job and became the CEO of Buy Me Once.
Brilliant. And looking at the Buy Me Once website, I can see lots of brands and different types of products, and some of the brands I feel like I've known for years, like Dualit toasters. We had our sourdough, homemade sourdough this morning, toasted to perfection in our Dualit toaster, which we've probably had for about 10 years already. So Dualit toasters and kettles, Dualex drinking glasses, and some of the bakeware and cooking brands. But lots of others that I'd not come across. Or only seen recently. So, how would you describe the ethos or types of brands that want to partner with Buy Me Once?
So I guess internally, I'm thinking about what is the best in show in terms of the circular economy. It's not something that we necessarily talk to consumers about because they don't necessarily understand a huge amount about it yet. But how can we be sure that this product is solving the problems for why this product is usually thrown away? So what we go about doing is we go, okay, so this is a frying pan. We are looking for the best frying pan. Why do frying pans usually fail? Why might someone, discard their frying pan? And so you start looking for what I call those weakest links. And it's, well, with a frying pan, it would be the handle gets wobbly and the non-stick goes. The might be the two main reasons why a frying pan goes. And so then we're looking for a brand or manufacturer who has specifically solved for those weakest links. So, one of the brands that we have on the site, Solid Technics, the pan is all made out of one piece of metal, so there is no join to get wobbly, and the surface of the pan is kind of everlastingly replenishable in terms of its non-stickness. So it actually also has a multi-century warranty, so kind of ticked all those boxes for us. And that's essentially what we're looking for when we say kind of the best in show. We're looking for those designers, manufacturers, brands who have solved for those weakest links in the best way. And There's definitely what we also look for is that kind of circular economy element of it. Has the materials that have gone into that product in the beginning come through kind of circular economy means? So is it, made from waste in some way, or is it helping to reduce waste in some way? So those would be our kind of our top criteria for choosing a product for the site.
Excellent. And what kind of feedback are you getting from the people who buy these products?
Well, it's been wonderfully positive. I'm very happy to say. And one of the great things about our community at BioMoments is that it's not just, a shop where you buy something and then go on. What we try to do is try to get people involved in what I would say the mission of BioMoments, which is to be a consumer champion to help people find the best for them, but to also kind of challenge manufacturers to do better as well, and to kind of educate people on why it's really important to buy for the long term and help them keep those products going. So it's not just about this is a long lasting product. It's like, here's how to fix it if it goes wrong, and this is what we can do to help you to kind of build up that collection in your home of things that aren't going to let you down and cause you frustration in the future. I would say that the people that come to BioMoments, they're coming to us because they want kind of the best, which is completely fair. And so they are kind of more picky. So if there is anything that ever goes wrong, they tell us, which is actually incredibly useful, because then we can kind of go back and, start to question it. And, either we go back to the manufacturer and we're like, we're getting feedback about this, what do you say to that? And sometimes they kind of might make changes, or there's been something particular that's gone wrong. Or if it's a kind of what we might say, kind of a fatal thing, we're like, you made these promises and they're not being fulfilled, so we're going to find another brand that we believe can do better. So we have kind of removed brands in the past if we don't think that they're performing up to standard. And I think that's a really important thing to kind of say, because we're not, I guess, tied to any particular brand. We're kind of independently researching these things, and we'll only put them on the site if we think that they're good. And any brand that kind of falls down on that, we will investigate and kick them off if necessary. And that has happened. But also what's been wonderful is that brands have even gone so far as to change their factories on feedback that we've given them.
So it's really, really helping by setting the bar high and making sure that everybody's really on board with, the objectives of a circular economy, and making sure that BioMoments has the reputation there to allow people to trust it. But also getting that feedback to the brands that this is what people want. To use a phrase from your book, which we'll come onto later, we don't like quality stripping, and when it undermines the durability and usability of the product, then we're going to complain.
Exactly. I think it's really important for consumers to have high expectations, because if we lower our expectations, and this is actually something that's happened, our expectations of how long a toaster might last has gone down and down and down, because you're buying it for a tenner from Tesco, and so therefore how long could it last? And so if it then breaks in 18 months, we're like, well, it was only a tenner. So I want to kind of raise those expectations again and show manufacturers that people actually do care about products lasting, and we're going to get leery if they do the opposite and kind of strip that quality out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a phrase that comes to mind from my corporate days of managing expectations. And I think that's what's happened with the longevity of products, that it's not been a kind of crash from washing machines lasting 20 years to washing machines lasting 3. It's been a sort of gradual erosion of our expectations. And that's what I'd like everybody to kind of push back against. In terms of the kinds of products, is there anything that you'd love to offer, but you can't yet kind of find a good enough product or brand, anything that's really frustrating you?
I think the things that I get really frustrated with, and I know that this is something that other people talk to me about, It is those kind of small appliances, that small appliance area, your air fryers, your microwaves, your kettles, your toasters. Like we've found what we believe to be the best options in terms of a kettle and a toaster. But they've still only got a couple of years warranty on them. I'm like, if we're talking about going to Mars, why can't we have something that makes water hot that lasts forever? That really shouldn't even be an issue in my mind. And kettles used to be much more robust, and now they've got all these kind of twiddly little electronic things inside them that can make a kettle die, whereas really it just needs to be a chamber to boil water and something that turns it off. And for me, that's not good enough. So I am interested in finding designers who are looking for to kind of solve those problems. Microwaves and air fryers too. It's kind of those kind of products where, for the most part, they're made in China and they're kind of much of a muchness when it comes to quality. So yeah, I want some more standout brands in that area, but it is hard to kind of get into those areas, I think, without quite a lot of investment and having the a reasonable price point with the quality there. I think it's quite hard for people.
But like you say, taking off some of the supposed bells and whistles might enable more investment to go into the durability, quality and even repairability. So, Tara, I'd love to come on to your book, A Life Less Throwaway, which I really enjoyed reading earlier in the year. And I especially love the story of how you came to do this after realizing that you were perhaps a shopaholic and on the wrong side of sustainability. And you've already mentioned your career in marketing. So, can you unpack a bit more about that? What's keeping us on these unsustainable sell more or, buy it and then dispose of it pathways?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize what they're up against, I suppose. The marketing and advertising industry is so huge, and some of the brightest people in the world are working in them, thinking 24 hours a day about how can we get people to spend more money potentially on things they don't necessarily need. Just even doing a car ad, there are hundreds of people involved, micromanaging every single aspect of how can we make this car look more desirable? How can we create feelings in the people looking at this? And so I think it's about being conscious as a consumer. And I don't really like the word consumer because when you think about yourself as a consumer, it actually creates different behaviors in yourself. So think of yourself as a human and what you need, and actually doing the work up front is probably the most powerful antidote to this, because you're going to get bombarded by messages all day, every day about what you should have in your life, what's going to make you happy. You're going to have pressures like time pressures of, buy now, it's only on sale for another 20 minutes, or all of these marketing tricks that are played on us to make us not think, essentially. They just want to kind of get you down a kind of an emotional buying route. But if you, as a person, have actually done the work up front, then you can overcome that. And when I say do the work up front, I mean examining your life, deciding what you need, but more importantly, deciding what you don't need, so that when this thing pops up telling you that you need it, you can go, no, I've already decided I don't need one of those. So I actually wrote a list of things I don't need, and I found it incredibly useful and powerful.
Wow.
People have written to me saying that it's changed their life, having a list of things that they don't need because they're on this perpetual kind of dopamine hit of impulse shopping, and writing a list of things that they didn't need made them feel in control and actually grateful for the things that they already have. Also, what I would say is doing the work in terms of what you care about from an aesthetic point of view is really useful if you're talking about kind of clothes and trends, because all of these trends, both in clothing and homeware, are constantly being pushed on us. We chuck out the cream, it's now, you know, beige with a light stripe is in, you know, refresh your living room. There's all this constant kind of messaging to tell that you need to be changing things up. And so what I would say is really doing the research into, well, what colors do really appeal to me, and go, you know, go on, you know, go make some beautiful Pinterest boards about, this is actually my taste. I'm happy and confident that this actually would be my taste for quite a long time. It's not something faddy or trendy. These are the kind of the color palettes and the colorways that have appealed to me, you know, for the last couple of decades maybe. And it might be that there are more contemporary things that are of the moment that might fit into that. And if that comes along, then great. Then you can kind of, then you can recognize that and go, actually, this thing that's just been made by these new designers that everyone's talked about really fits into that aesthetic that I've decided for myself that I really like. So wonderful. But I think so often we're kind of shamed if we've got something that is out of date, either on our bodies or in our homes. And I just think that's incredibly wrong, because you know, there is no proper value judgment when it comes to taste.
Yeah, I think that resonates so much in terms of the kind of adverts that we see, you know, particularly the way that home furnishings have been turned into a kind of fashion thing. And, you know, you can end up spending a lot of money on things that really aren't durable at all. And from the health perspective, you know, we're bringing in all those volatile organic compounds and flame retardants and other unhealthy things. And the longer you keep something for, the more you've got rid of all those awful chemicals and the less unhealthy you're making your living environment. So from all sorts of angles, you know, it's so much better, isn't it, to buy things that you can treasure and that you know kind of will make you feel better about your clothing, your living environment and so on, but they really are you, not just kind of following some influencer or flash marketing campaign. So Tara, in the process of building Buy Me Once and writing the book and so on, is there something that stands out in terms of a thing that you struggled with or something that really surprised you?
Oh, goodness. I think things that is a struggle, and I suppose this must be the case with every entrepreneur, but I think when you have an idea that you feel is important and then you start to make that idea into a business, I think what then can happen is that the business side of things can kind of take over a little bit, and you end up kind of drowning in spreadsheets and holding on to the mission and what you're doing things for. I've always found, you know, really important in order to recalibrate. Because when you start a business, it's such a learning curve. There's so many things you have to learn. And especially if you do any sort of, you know, investment rounds, you're learning a whole new language, essentially, and a whole new kind of skill set. And that can be really, really exciting, but also, you know, pretty daunting, because you're kind of having to do often everything yourself. And I think remembering why you're doing things, I think, is kind of the grounding source to kind of pull on that energy to kind of keep you going. And I've had to do that at times where I'm like, I'm really unsuited to this. You know, I'm a creative person and I've been looking at this spreadsheet for 5 days. And then, you know, to get my energy back up, it's all about kind of tapping back into that, like, this is really important, you know, because yes, this spreadsheet is, you know, driving me nuts, but, you know, this is the goal that we're going for. We're trying to make a real difference here, trying to change people's habits and change the industry, and kind of keeping those both things of the minutiae and the big picture in your head is something that is always, I think, hard to balance. But when you can get that, it kind of gives you the energy to kind of keep on going.
Yeah, I think you're right. Reminding yourself about the big why as to why you're doing all this and putting all the hours in and having the sleepless nights and so on is important to keep you on the straight and narrow. So I'm guessing you've researched lots of brands that you think are good examples of circular economy products and services. Is there one in particular that comes to mind, or somebody that you'd like to give a shout out to as a circular economy hero?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that one of the brands that came up relatively recently for Buy Me Once that just got us really excited was a toothbrush brand called Suri. So I have one of their toothbrushes here, and not only are they, it's incredibly beautiful. It's kind of like if Apple did toothbrushes. It's kind of very sleek and lovely. It is, but for my mind, really best in class, because they've solved that problem of replacing the battery of toothbrushes. It drives me completely nuts that all of these electric toothbrushes are out there, and they're completely sealed containers that
Wow.
you can't replace the battery. They're not designed to be replaced. So when that battery starts to fail and it starts running out halfway through you brushing your toothbrush, or it needs charging kind of every day, at that point there is zero recourse. There's nothing you can do apart from throw it away. But with Suri, they have promised to replace, or they've made it possible to replace the battery, and the heads are recyclable. And if you kind of subscribe to getting their new heads at regular intervals, it's a lifetime guarantee on the brush. And so if the battery were ever to fail, they will then replace it for you. And I'm like, that is what we've been looking for a really long time. And it's made out of recycled materials as well. It's just they thought about every single aspect of the design to make it, become a cherished object. It looks beautiful. It's something that you want to take care of, and they've made it fixable. It's something that kind of has ticked a lot of our boxes that we look for, and that's not always the case. It's always really exciting when that happens. So a big shout out to Siri. Well done.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, and I'd no idea. I'm still old school with a manual toothbrush. I'd no idea you couldn't replace the battery, so that's absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
So, Tara, if you could wave a magic wand and change one thing to help create a better world, what would that be?
Oh, it's something that I'm campaigning to do anyway, but what I would really love is that if you went into any shop, so your John Lewis, your Currys, Amazon, every product would have a estimated lifetime, and then a price per month or price per year, kind of as part of that. In the same way as, with loo roll, it says, price per sheet is, 22 pence. And that helps you decide actually how good a value a particular loo roll is. Having a price per use or price per year, immediately it's so obvious then that, this kettle is better value than that kettle, because this kettle will last me 25 years and costs, £25, and this kettle is £10 and will only last me 5 years. It's so clear then what value people are then getting. And so that would be my magic wand waving.
That's a great one, and it'd be lovely to see that included in legislation in the EU, UK, and all around the world, or even for manufacturers to start doing that themselves to kind of make the comparison between their brand and what's out there in the market. Anonymized, but typical kettle lasts this long, ours lasts twice as long, would be brilliant. So before we tell people how they can connect with you and find go and look up Buy Me Once. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would just say I'd love for people to get in touch with us and and tell us, if there's something that they would like to last a bit longer. Is there something that they would like us to research and find for them that's then the best in show for us to kind of put on our site? We're always really interested to hear what people's bugbears are around longevity, be it in electronics or in kitchenware or across clothing. What would they really like to see on sale in a longest lasting version? And who knows, we might even make it ourselves one day.
Fantastic. So, how can people find out more and get in touch?
Well, please go to buymeonce.co.uk if you're in the UK, or .com if you are elsewhere. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, just by searching for Buy Me Once in most cases. Or if you particularly want to get in contact with me, I'm at tarabutton.co.uk.
Brilliant. And as always, we'll put those links in the show notes so people can follow up. And Tara, thanks so much for taking the time to share the learnings from your book and to talk about Buy Me Once and the problem it solves for people. And I hope it continues to attract more brands and more customers who want useful, durable, repairable products that really help us to have a life less throwaway.
Thank you so much, Catherine. So great to talk to you today.
I particularly enjoyed reading Tara's book, A Life Less Throwaway. It builds on Tara's own experiences and perspective. She'd realised that she was an impulse buyer, absorbing so many of the different marketing messages that bombard us every day, getting carried along by what turns out to be the empty promises of consumerism. At Buy Me Once, Tara puts circular economy principles at the heart of product selection, looking for brands that meet high standards of durability and repairability, backed up by robust warranties. On top of their high-quality design and materials, these products often have great aesthetics and functionality, so we get a rewarding experience from using them. Looking for the weaknesses and failure points from both the design and materials perspective is a great way to get to the core of what customers will value. I loved Tara's mission for Buy Me Once, to be a consumer champion, both to help people find the best stuff and to challenge manufacturers to do better. Buy Me Once aims to educate everyone about the importance of buying for the long term and keeping those products in use, including making it easier to fix things if they go wrong. As Tara said, this isn't rocket science, but many of us haven't noticed that brands have gradually reduced our expectations for quality and durability, especially for things like electrical appliances. For example, a study by the German Environment Agency showed that the number of large household appliances replaced within the first 5 years due to a defect increased from 3.5% in 2004 to 8.3% in 2013. That's more than double the number of failures in less than a decade. I've included a link to that study in the show notes. It would be great to see consumer groups pushing for more transparency on this. Maybe a wiki platform where people could log failures, repairs, and the age of products that are still in use. I love Tara's magic wand idea for every product to display its expected lifetime and for that to be shown as a cost per month or per year, so we could compare the usership cost, the cost to own one product against another. We could even add the cost of consumables in, so you could compare a bagless vacuum cleaner against those with disposable bags. Tara emphasised that getting feedback from customers is both vital and valuable, both for Buy Me Once and for the brands. And Tara sets the bar high. So if brands don't continue to meet the standards and live up to their promises, they'll be kicked off the platform. In other words, Buy Me Once makes sure it lives up to its promises too. So that's a wrap for this episode of the Circular Economy podcast. Thank you to our inspiring guest this week, Tara Button of Buy Me Once. And thank you for taking the time to listen and help spread the word on why it's so important that we create a circular economy to do much better with much less. The show notes include the links for Tara, for Buy Me Once, and Tara's excellent book, A Life Less Throwaway. And you can find all of those at circulareconomypodcast.com. The Circular Economy Podcast is brought to you by Rethink Global, the company I started to help you succeed with circular. You can find information on my talks, workshops and advice, plus circular economy resources at rethinkglobal.info. And you can connect with me, Catherine Wheatman, on LinkedIn. I believe we can all help make the circular economy happen through the choices we make at work and in our everyday lives. Buying pre-used, keeping what we have for longer, repairing it and making sure it has another life. Those choices send strong signals to companies and governments, making it clear we all want a better, circular and regenerative future. We can do better with less. We can all help spread the word too. Talk about the circular economy and help other people find this podcast by leaving us a rating and a review on your podcast app. If you're just starting out with the circular economy, why not check out our Getting Started playlist on the podcast homepage? You could also buy my award-winning book, A Circular Economy Handbook, How to Build a More Resilient, Competitive and Sustainable Business. It takes you through the concepts and practicalities with hundreds of real examples from all around the world. We've made it easier for you to find episodes on the key circular economy strategies, or for a market sector, or specific countries. Check out the Interactive Podcast Index. There's a link on the podcast homepage at circulareconomypodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening to the end, and if you like what you're hearing, please hit subscribe. And I'll see you next time.